And we are back. Couch Company Podcast. I'm John. With me, as always, Tyler.
Hey, we've been talking for 40 minutes.
We haven't talked for 40 minutes, and I was like, well, we should probably record this.
The record button.
So we were discussing some Dungeons & Dragons, which has been kind of a recent theme.
No, don't go away. Don't go away.
Okay.
We lost them. All right, that's fine.
Now it's all...
All right, nerds, what's up?
Now it's all fair game. So we're talking some Dungeons & Dragons. Tyler was telling me, so you have all of the supplemental books, so like the rule books.
Core, supplement.
Yeah.
And what did I say? Campaign settings. Yeah.
Which are, there was like eight.
There were 12. The last batch that I got was a dozen of them.
Wow.
Because I think one just launched this month, I think, that I bought. So it should be coming at some point this month.
Yeah, that always confused me. There's all these different campaign settings, like different universes kind of. And then just like, oh my gosh.
There's like a cartoon one or something. There's like a cartoony front is there? Of one of them.
Is there? Oh, is that...
It's not like
Acquisitions Incorporated or something?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called? Yeah. But that's in the Forgotten Realms, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, fine. But it's still a weird
cartoon
cover.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I really don't want this, but I have to.
You have to.
Like, it's the collection.
There's a little adventure in that one, too.
Some of them have that.
Right.
So, like, I bought two packs where I get, like, an adventure... A supplement guide and a DM screen.
Wow.
So I have just DM screens.
You're just ready to go.
Like, I guess.
Wherever.
They're still in the cellophane.
Setting. That's so funny. But yeah, I was telling Tyler I've always wanted to play this game. Because, you know, Baldur's Gate came out this year and I...
Did it?
Yeah, I think so. I heard that. It's about as good as Modern Warfare 3. got him.
Oh, I choked.
Sorry. Your cat's about to pounce, by the way. Look at this shit.
Yeah, I don't know why they're
He's
fighting.
He's looking at some. Baldur's Gate 3 was great, obviously. But it got me into the Forgotten Realms setting, which is one of your 12. The Sword Coast Adventure Guide,
so
I think.
So Forgotten Realms is one of the books?
Yeah, So it's one, it's a campaign setting. It's a world.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And the world is called, I forget what the world's called.
Earth.
A Brill or something like that.
April.
Yeah. Anyways, but like it's kind of weird because like everything takes place on the Sword Coast, which is like this. Think of like Portugal or Spain.
Okay,
it's like the west of Europe. If you're thinking of like Earth, one to one, which is Faerun is the continent, I think, or the country. No, it's a continent, I think. Anyways, like everything takes place there. Like there's all these other continents and stuff that like you hardly ever like hear anything about. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
So anyways, I've always had this dream of like there's all these adventures, right? So Wizards of the Coast published these adventures that a lot of them take place in the Forgotten Realms. And I was reading this article that established like they cross-referenced different novels and games and, you know, all the content of D&D stuff. And we're able to establish like a timeline of these adventures.
Yeah.
And in the grand scheme of things. So I thought that would be cool to go through the adventures and have this like ever living, breathing world where like your characters will go through these adventures and change the world as you're playing. Right.
Right.
That would be cool. That would be cool. And it's really weird. Like these 15 adventures or something takes place within like 10 years. Like they're all
so
super
could
close.
Be the same characters.
It could be. It wouldn't be because like a lot of them are like levels 1 to 15 or like 1 to 7.
Oh, and then it restarts.
Right, exactly. So it's like I would... My vision for that would be you have new characters every book and then you kind of keep track of like what your old characters are doing throughout the world.
Right.
Like, so let's say you're like level 15 and you want to like overthrow the king. Like that's a huge event, right?
Yeah.
And that's like a perfect thing for like a one shot. And that solves the problem of like, maybe you keep your character for the one shot and everyone else like just makes a one shot character, but it like everyone's invested. Cause it's like, no, this is like in the world and this is going to have stakes. Cause that's why I generally don't like one shots. Cause it's like, what does this matter?
Yeah.
I'm just going to take all the risks and like,
right.
I don't really care. But like, if it's the same world or universe where like, if you guys fail, like that's going to affect things.
Yeah.
I think that'd be interesting.
How do you feel about a DM taking... So, like, let's say you go through, like, a 1 to 15 campaign. You finish off at 15. You end as, like, I'm the new king or the new ruler or whatever. And another campaign starts. But then, like, through some corruption, you're going after the king. But then you find out that it's actually the level 15 guy, your old guy and stuff.
Yeah.
Would you be upset about that if you're, like, a lawful good character? And then the DM's like, if he explains it, if it like organically comes around and it's just like, oh no, like you have to go fight your old self, basically.
I probably would hesitate with that. I would have a conversation with that player, right? And I'd be like, hey, I have this idea. What if your original character gets... Because like people establish obviously like a very personal connection to their characters. So I don't want to change anything unless I have their blessing.
Yeah.
So I would pull that character aside, say, hey, I have this really cool idea. What do you think? If they're on board, that would be really interesting. Like, they'll know.
Yeah.
The rest of the group will be in the dark.
Yeah.
And
that'd be cool. Like, get a little callback and, like, they can just role play the bad guy.
Exactly.
Set it up.
That'd be super, super interesting. And what if, like, his current character is like a mole or something, kind of leading him down the trail? Yeah. So he's in on it the whole time.
Yeah.
That would be cool. That'd be cool.
You get some, like, oh, this is my child or something like that. It's like you're just trying to, like, live up to.
Yeah, that would be cool. XYZ well, that'd be tough because, like I said, it takes place within 10 years. If it was more stretched out, which I'm sure you could do. I mean, you can do whatever you want.
You could have a kid,
right?
Like, if that's part of the backstory of just like, oh, I'm leaving my wife and kid to go overthrow this oppressive king or something like that. You do that, and then it's like, okay, now 10 years later, your kid is 16, 18, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It can be neat.
No, that would be cool. I also think it'd be really interesting, like, let's say one of your characters died or something, right?
Yeah.
And then, like, down the line in a couple books, you find the remnants of that character, and it's like a nice callback, and you pick up his sword that you had in the other game. It's like the connection you'd have to that is just super cool, I think.
And it's like it's possessed, and one of the side quests is like you resurrect it. But then the character starts back at one, and you can just use that character.
Yeah, you can use them. I think there's a lot of cool ideas you can do with that. It's, I mean, we've talked about this, right? To me, it's all about ownership.
Yep.
It's a shared world. Let's establish it together. You know, that's why in this kind of game, this kind of large scale game, it would be so cool. The backstories would mean something because, like, I envision it like we have a map of the Sword Coast or whatever, and you're like, I'm from this village, here's my tribe, here's what we're about, and you like totally created that. It's not within the world.
Yeah.
And we just mark that on the map, and like that's a thing now. Now we can like build on that, and that's a place we can visit. Maybe another group will visit that place, and we know what that's about, and it's like established,
and everybody kind of does their own thing like that. And it's I don't know why Final Fantasy VII just popped in my mind, but it's kind of the same thing where it's like, you have this party of all these different characters, but then they go to, oh, here's Red 13's home, or here's what, and it's just like they're kind of like the masters of their domain, so to speak. So like maybe that's kind of their spotlight for a little bit while they're taking you through like their neck of the woods.
Yeah.
And then that's a really cool idea.
No, I in my heart of hearts, I don't think it's possible because it would take forever. Because like one campaign takes long enough and it's like 15 of them.
It would be a dedicated thing,
But man, it just seemed like the idea, the potential is there. Like if everyone's invested, I worry too about like you're on book number 10 and you have your journal of like 9 other characters. And like the way I foresee it going is like, okay, we finished the book. Let's recap your other characters. And like, just tell me what they're doing. Where are they at in the world? Like last time we checked, he wanted to accomplish this and this guy wanted to do that. And I would hope that like some characters would be like, oh, he retires, he starts a family and that's like it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to check in on him, we can be like, yeah, sure. He owns a bar now or something.
Yeah.
Like, cool. Yeah. But like, obviously some characters, maybe the more high level ones would have more of an impact on the world. Like, oh, he's going to learn a forbidden spell or something, or he's going to try to track down this legendary item or some crazy shit. But like, so like early on that would be feasible. Like you're on book 3, it's like, oh, I have a couple characters. But like, if you're on like book 10 or 12 or 13, it's like, that's a lot of characters to go through times however many players you have. It's like, I don't know if it's possible. It'd be dedication.
I'm trying to think. There's really no good way to time jump either.
No.
Like, I was trying to think, like, maybe you could, like, kind of, like, go in the future and do, like, these, like, kind of, like, branching things. So it's almost like you, as the first book, and you're going through this adventure, and you run into a town, and you're talking to different people and whatnot. But then, like, as you're doing that, if the players are helping to, like, name people and create the village and the town and whatnot in the city, could you start cherry-picking different things? So, like, book one, party comes in, start talking to the blacksmith or whatever, blah, 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 blah. They move on. But then, like, that blacksmith is inspired to, like, pick up the sword and, sure. and go off. And, like, that's one of the characters. I don't know.
Oh, I see.
You know, and yeah, kind of, like, yeah. it's just,
it's already established.
Yeah, yeah, so yeah. It'd be a weird...
Maybe there's a rule where, like... You'd have to get creative with this, but maybe there's, like, a rule where, like, you're only allowed to have X amount of characters do... Like, there's certain actions you can do at the end of the book, right? And maybe there's, like, tiers of how impactful those actions are, right? Like, so if you're trying to overthrow a king, that's, like, tier three, like, that's, like... Yeah. Or tier one, or whatever you want to call it. Like, that's, like, big. Like, we have to address that. We'll have to play that out or roll that out or something. And then maybe there's like a mid tier where it's like, I want to run my clan, or I want to, run this village or something, you know what I mean? Or I want to go find some item or something. I don't know. And then like a tier one is like, I just kind of retire, or like, I just go sail the world or something. Right. Like, we don't have to address it at all. It's a little flavor.
Yeah.
So maybe it's like a situation where like, okay, you're only allowed to have three characters in tier one that are like, we have to like play this out. And then like tier two, maybe it's like we roll this out so it takes less time and you can have X number of characters in that, and then everyone else has to be tier three. So they have to think about like, oh, I really like this character. I'm going to start thinking about what his or her, like, you know, what they want to accomplish or whatever, right? So maybe something like that.
I think the thing too is like, for me personally, whenever I'm playing a game, it has to be drip fed. It has to be like, you're getting to the payoff. And I think a lot of the time, and we were just talking about this before we started recording, the thing that I always worry about is the DM will start giving like the political structure of the world.
Yeah.
Which is typically fine. It's good to understand like the overall, like, let's put in real world terms. It's like, okay, here's the Republicans and the Democrats.
Sure.
And it's like, cool, I understand that.
Right.
But like understanding the feuds of all the different politicians and I'm like, I don't care, like, really, right? Like, that's not enough for me to be like, oh, I suddenly feel motivated and I'm gonna like jump at the chance to do like this mission for this person or whatever, right? So it's like, to begin with, it needs to be this like bare bones, like, hey, I'm paying you for a job.
Yeah.
And then things happen along the way that then starts making me care more, right? So like for our campaign that we're doing, it was very much like, you guys hired me to be a mercenary, right?
Yeah, yep.
And then through the course of however many weeks we're doing this, it's like, oh, I'm starting to actually care about like the different characters and stuff. And that's like what kind of keeps me around. But at the same time, that's not like motivation to then go do anything like drastic, right?
Mm.
So that's what I'm saying is like, there needs to be these like defining moments where it's like, okay, you want me to go overthrow the king? He better be oppressing the heck out of not just any town, but like my town, or like something that like means something to me that is enough for me to like get off my butt and go, right?
Right. Like that's something you've established in the game, right?
Something, yeah. It can't just be like, oh, this king's a bad dude. You don't like that. And it's like, and maybe this is just me kind of bleeding into my character, but it's just like, well, is he hurting me per se?
Right.
Like, if he's like shutting down the town and taxing everything and it's all, you know, something that's like, I see the ramifications of it or it's affecting me personally.
Yeah.
That's when it's like, oh, I can latch onto that and then I'm in.
Right.
But that's always been tough for me where it's either like, here's a bunch of like political characters that you should somewhat care about, or here's a pantheon of gods that you want to know who, what god does what and who's against who and different things like that. I'm just like, that's never me,
right?
Like,
right.
And maybe it's just too much of me, and maybe I need to break out of that shell. But like, I am so drawn to the small stuff that will evolve into the big stuff that, like, unless there is some foundation or some building blocks, I couldn't. If you start at the top, you lost me.
Yeah,
that's the thing I always struggle with.
No, I think you're exactly right, and that I struggle with that when I DM the drip feed of either whether it's information or investment.
Yeah,
it's so easy to have like a good idea and want to just spill the beans, and it's so tough to really structure that out. For some reason, because like if you think about like a show or something, you have the luxury of writing that out and really understanding on paper what the pacing looks like,
right?
Which you can do in D&D more or less, but like since it's a live environment and there's live role playing elements to it, like it's really easy to just like come out with all the stuff you know you wanted to kind of say, and I struggle with that sometimes too, and I think. There's a good way to do it, right? Like a way you can be creative about, you know, we were talking about this before we were recording, but like, you know, in video games, you find pamphlets or like books or things.
Like little journals. Collectible stuff. Yeah.
And like, can we incorporate that in a D&D? Like, yeah, you find the journal of the bad guy. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to give you some lore on what his motivations are maybe. But just pieces, right? Not the whole plan. But maybe fragments, and like, you know, you start piecing it together, it starts becoming more clear. It's easier said than done, but yeah, I totally think you're onto something. It's always about, like, as a DM, it's always about like how can I get my players invested, right? Mm-hmm. And the challenging part to that is everyone gets invested in different ways, right?
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah.
So like you, for example, like you said, you like the small things, you like to see the progression. Like you'll come to the game with zero backstory.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just there. I was a farmer. Yep. Now I'm here on this job.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens. Because you want your backstory to be the game.
Exactly. I don't care about my character. That's the problem. Is like in D&D, when I build a character, which we've done a lot of times, I don't have any attachment to them. You could crumple up that paper and throw it away, and it's like, okay, whatever. Fox is the only character that I actually care about because it's like that's through the course of however many games that we've played, and he actually has backstory because I use the game as backstory.
Right.
So it's like it's not me coming to a game loving this character. It's, all right, I built something that I think might be fun to play.
Mm.
Let's see if this world makes me fall in love with this guy. Or girl or whatever. You know, it's just right. Like that. That's kind of that's what I want from the game.
Right.
Again, very subjective, very, and it's not everybody. And you know, like Jeff would come to the game with like a 6-page essay on everything. And that's fantastic because then it's like you have all the little idiosyncrasies that you want to do and your attitude and everything.
Yeah.
And if you are that invested, then it's like, cool. You know how you're acting. You know how you're doing it. The problem that I have is like, if I do that and, which I've done a couple times, and then throughout the course of the campaign, either a couple sessions or whatever, I find myself being like, I don't like playing this character. It's no different than when you're playing like your edgelord and you're just like, this doesn't click right.
Right.
Then I don't want to say it's miserable, but it's not as fun to play, and you feel like you're at odds with yourself because it's like you know what you're supposed to act. But if that's not the fun or entertaining or whatever, like whenever I was playing that giant, I was supposed to be this like brooding, gruff, like I hate everything type of thing. I mean, eventually I just ate a rock and died and became a villain. But you know, it is what it is. It's just like, I don't know. You're right. Everyone looks for something different, and then to bridge that gap is going
to
be.
Yeah, I'm similar to you in the respect of like I maybe a little bit more. Like I do like to have some sort of background, but I don't have a long idea because, and I think I've talked about this before, but I'm really feeling my character out. Like for me, it's more of a feeling than like I know exactly who this person is.
Right.
Like even when I start role playing them, it like right away I just kind of let my senses take over. I'm like, oh, I'm kind of drawn. This person's kind of like this, you know, and they kind of sound like this actually. This feels comfortable. And like Britt, for example, so we've been doing that Westmarch campaign thing, right?
Yeah.
Where essentially a a summary of what that is like anyone can jump in and out of this game, and you kind of have a world you're kind of, it's like exploring, it's like just adventuring. So there's not really a plot or anything.
Right.
It's more just like a platform for people to jump in and out and have a cohesive place where you can play D&D with a lot of different people. So like Britt is the character I brought into this game, and he was originally created for a game Tyler was running way back. And I went into that game with like, no, I was like, all right, he's like a half elf. He's like a ranger. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I was just feeling him out. And like through the role playing, I was like, okay, Britt is, he's like young. Okay. Britt, he's trying to get famous. Yeah. That's how you, okay. He wants to just be like this cool guy, rich. He wants to get famous. Oh, okay. He just wants to get laid. Like that's like, so it's like, there's three things
basically
Britt wants.
It's you.
Okay, maybe.
Like, you're playing yourself, which is why I play Thok, and I like Thok, because it's just like, he's the sarcastic jerk that doesn't take anything seriously, right. You know?
Yeah.
And that's not wrong.
No.
That's not bad.
Like, dude, I tell everyone, like, just do yourself. Maybe, like, a caricature of yourself.
Yeah.
Like, a more, you know, how would you say it? Like,
Exaggerated
form of yourself.
Yeah.
But that's the easiest way to start role-playing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what Britt was, more or less.
but
it's fun. It's just like, I don't know.
Through the gameplay, it gets more and more exaggerated and stuff.
And
that's the thing is you need, if everybody was just kind of like middle of the road or everyone was self-sufficient or everyone was just kind of like, I'm you're basically playing real life or whatever. It's just, I'm an elf instead of a human or whatever. It's like, you need those defining exaggerated characteristics to gel with the group and to figure out stuff. Right.
Yeah.
So like, if I'm like this, like my other, like the character in Westmarch is like just the buffoon, right? Like he's just obsessed with, he's like your biggest fan, whatever.
Yeah.
But he's like very, doesn't really think first. He just goes.
Yeah.
And the negatives and all the issues that come of that is just so much more fun.
Yeah.
Like that's how you kind of gel and figure that out. So if you go into a game and you're like, okay, I want to be like the smartest guy in the room.
Sure.
That's fine, but if there's another person playing and they also want to be the smartest guy in the room, either you got to like figure that out together or be rival, because like sometimes you butt heads. So it's like, I don't like to have such solid walls on like, this is how I'm going to play this character and be this character.
Yeah.
Because I would much rather gel and be like, oh no, like, I mean, for instance, like last night, if Jeff was like, I'm a jester, it's like, okay, you're a jester, I'm a bard. It's like, there's some like kissing cousins type of thing. But I'm like, I'm going to be just super jealous of this guy, right?
right.
Especially because you were giving him, like, you were like kind of buddy-buddy with him for a little bit and stuff. And I'm just like, that's my best friend. Like, what are you talking about? You know? So I think that just, I want to be flexible. And I feel like if I write a 6-page, and again, purely me, but if I write like a 6-page backstory, and maybe this is just me not being creative enough, but I'm like, I don't feel like I can be as flexible as I want. I'd rather fill in the gaps.
I think that makes sense. And then you kind of like carve out your role in the group, right? Like you're flexible. I agree. I like being flexible too. Like when I have room for my character, but look, that's not to say that having a long backstory is bad. Like it can be really cool. Like you have this detailed backstory, you know exactly what your like lineage is, like what happened to you and stuff. And as a DM, that's just like cake, man. Like you can insert this character here and this can happen and it kind of writes itself. So that can be really fun for a DM to play with, especially like we were saying before, having some of these like open-ended things, right? Like in our game, Milo doesn't know his dad.
Yeah,
know who his dad is.
Right.
And I told Jeff like at the beginning of the game, I'm like, dude, if you want to do something with that, go for it. Like anything you want. Like
that's fine.
But if we never meet him, it never comes up. Oh, he's trying. If he never comes up, totally cool too.
Yeah.
But just give the DM that option. Like something could happen with that, but I'm not expecting that to, right?
I see, that's the thing is, and this is past campaigns, but you would put something out there, not you, just the general you. Like
sure.
It'd be like, you put something out there and then the DM's like, oh, that's really cool. And then like the next campaign or the next session is like, here they are. Like, it's your long lost dad.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, I don't know how to feel about that.
Not a lot of payoff.
So like whenever I think about backstory, I think that like, if I'm writing a giant backstory or I'm giving like all this information from like previous campaigns or however it is, I'm doing that to be like, hey, this should give you a pretty good understanding of like my character's psyche and how he would handle situations.
Right.
So it's not like you put something in front of him and you don't know how he's going to react. You would have a general idea, oh, if somebody challenges him to like a drinking contest, he's going to drink him under the table type of thing. Or he's at least going to try to. So for something like that, I am so much more excited for the future. Because if it's like backstory, either I already made it up, I know what it is, whatever.
Right.
Or I've already played it in a previous campaign. So it's like I've done that. I don't need necessarily a callback. It's that should influence all the cool future stuff. Mm. And maybe that's just me as a person, but I'm always looking for like the next, you know, hit of like, oh, that's novel, or oh, that's super cool, or this is, I've never done this before.
Right.
Which same thing with like games, right? It's always, I'm always looking like in indie games of just something new, something fresh, not, oh, Modern Warfare 3, you know, like whatever. Here's the next iteration of Call of Duty that's the exact same as everything else.
Right.
So I don't know. That's, you don't have to beat the dead horse. I'm just saying that that's kind of, everyone's different, I guess.
No, yeah. And yeah, that's the beauty of the game. Everyone plays differently and totally valid. You like any way you want to play it, it's a completely valid way to play. And like some people just like seeing the numbers go up and hitting really hard, and that's cool. And some people like just look forward to those out of combat roles, like you, like you, that's your bread and butter.
Yeah.
Like if I can do something out of combat, drinking contest, tuna toss, race,
beard contest,
whatever. It doesn't even have to be like a contest. You'd be like talking to someone.
Yep.
Telling a joke. You know what I mean?
Well, I was telling you off air too. Like that is my goal.
Yeah.
Is like the next combats. However long, I'm just like, I'm swinging my axe is going to be the last thing I do.
Yeah.
So whatever else I can do,
right,
be it environmental, holding somebody, insulting, like whatever, you better believe I'm going to try
it.
To be creative.
It's great. We'll see. I mean, like, yeah, it makes me think of like the origin of Thok, where it's like, and sometimes it like doesn't go where you expect it to either. Like you destroy this drinking competition, like you're rolling these 20s in these out of combat scenarios, and like you beat all these dwarves in the drinking, which is like a classic thing,
yeah,
but still awesome. But then like you know, like the hottest girl there, you roll a 20 and you're probably thinking to yourself, oh yeah, like, you know, we're gonna have a good time or whatever, and then I'm gonna keep going. It's like, no, you like fall in love with her.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like you were not ready for that.
And then I get her brother killed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then you can't face her. And then, right. Yeah, no, exactly. And I like that, where it like is unexpected.
Yep.
And now, because you do such a great job with like rolling with that, where it's like, that's not where I saw this going, but I'm going to give it my best.
Yes. And
yep. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, that's the thing, is like, okay, the dwarves, I drink them under the table, they respect me. And now, all my gear is like dwarven lace I'm friends with dwarves everywhere. So it's like, to me, that is what I get invested in. Like, I don't care that, and again, I'm not a warlock, so it's like whatever, but it's like, I don't care about the gods. I don't care about politics. I don't care. You know, but that doesn't mean I don't care. It just means that it's like, it's the little things that I grow attached to. Once I have that, start taking that away from me,
right,
and see what happens.
Yeah.
Have a king come down and say, oh, guess what? We're shutting down Polly's bar because there's no alcohol in this city. Oh, you want to see me overthrow a kingdom? Yeah. There you go.
Exactly.
Yep. But anyway.
No. Oh, man. What a fun game.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, man.
What's been going on?
Speaking of games, I've been playing Spider-Man.
I, too, have been playing
Spider-Man 2.
A Spider-Man.
So I guess just kind of first thoughts. It's fun. It's a fun game.
Oh, we're just jumping straight in. How many hours have you played so far? I want to give people context.
Maybe like 4 or 5.
Okay. All right. So like, I would say probably around the same thing. Mm-hmm. I got caught up in some side quest stuff. So story wise, I don't really know, how far.
I'm pretty early too. Yeah.
Okay.
I was just I think this game looks great.
Yeah.
I think it runs great.
Yes.
And dude, Spider-Man was just meant, it just fits so well in the video game format. The traversal, the combat, like Spider-Man, Batman, like those are the best like heroes or superheroes for like video game format, 'cause they just like, it's grounded enough where you can have fluid combat and it makes a lot of sense, but it's like absurd enough where it's super cool and you're doing all this crazy shit. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, right. It's a perfect balance.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just been a lot of fun.
I look at this game where I think it is the coolest, funnest video game.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it's just like, okay, cool. Like, this is just fun to play. And then there's this other half where I'm like, this is the most boring game ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm, okay. And like, what, like, aspect?
So all the side quests,
yeah,
that involve anything besides like going to point A and like beating up some dudes, and like the story's cool. So yeah, like the main guy's Kraven,
right?
And that's about as probably as much as we can talk about as far as the plot goes.
Your favorite Spider-Man villain.
My favorite Spider-Man villain.
Yeah. So I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Kraven in the animated series cartoon, yeah, he was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And he was a bad guy, but like
on the edge.
He helped out.
Yeah.
Like him and Morpheus like saved Spider-Man at one point. Anyway. But the thing is, like, he's so cool. And it's like, I want to see what happens here. This is like super interesting. And it goes from like these like set piece moments. Where, and I know that like a lot of this is in the trailer and stuff, and they showed a lot of these, but like, you know, like you're fighting Sandman, you're doing all this crazy stuff, swinging around and dodging, you know, fighting, and then you're trying to do this stuff with Kraven as he's like grabbing villains, and it's like, yeah, a whole thing.
Right.
I'm like, that is so cool.
Yep.
And then like 5 minutes later, it's like, somebody stole our mascot, Spider-Man, like, go get the lion. And it's like, and now I'm finding a mascot costume. And right. I get it. It's like a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man thing.
Yeah.
But to have to like complete so many side quests that are just kind of like, fine. I don't know. It's like, oh, go and take a million pictures of like the AV club and stuff. Sure. And I'm just like, okay, man. I guess, but like, I'm freaking Spider-Man. Like, I don't, I feel like we've graduated from this part.
Yeah, they don't put those parts in the comics, right?
No,
like, and they skip past that maybe one panel with the photo taking.
It helps. It's just like, and maybe this is just the nature like of like the TikTok nature, I like to say, where it's like, okay, 30 seconds, my attention span's so gone. But right. Like, I hate walking in video games. I hate walking behind somebody and trying to like just like follow them clumsily along, where you're just looking at how like stiff all the animations are and annoying. And it's, you can't run, you can't deviate from the path, you just have to kind of like follow behind them,
right,
and listen to their monologue, exposition, whatever. At that point, just make it a cutscene and just shorten it and do like this thing, and just, you don't have to be so, I don't know, like immersed, I guess, in that regard. And like games do it really well. So like God of War does it really well.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man just seems like there's a lot of like, you go into Aunt May's house or whatever, and it's like, throw the, I don't know, rotted fruit away while it's like this conversation with Peter Parker and Mary Jane. It's like, dude, I'm trying to find what I'm supposed to do in this apartment and in playing the quote unquote like game portion of it. Instead of listening to the dialogue, I don't even know what they were talking about.
Right.
I feel like if it was just like a cutscene,
yeah,
it would have been, I would have been more invested. I would have been like, okay, like you could maybe animate a little bit better. You could kind of like get some cool angles and stuff. But instead, I'm just this clumsy, like, I don't know, video game character walking through.
Right.
And like, I don't want to crap all over the game. It's just like, it's such a different feeling from that to like, I have never seen a game better animated in my life.
Right.
As you're swinging through the cities, doing all like the different combats and all the different traversals and stuff. And like, it's very hard to screw up looking cool in that game.
For sure.
So it just, it's at odds. And like every single thing that you do is like just different. There's like a million different side quests of like, oh, find your uncle's, I don't know,
tech
stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, which one is this? Okay. I gotta hold the shoulder buttons down and try to find stuff.
It's like, it's not photos. Like,
yeah. But it's like, not like fun. And I don't
know. Nah, it's like padding.
Yeah.
It's very, Final Fantasy 16 esque.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
yes,
these amazing set pieces.
Yep.
Like when you're in Final Fantasy 16 and you see the mission with the two swords, you're like, fuck yeah, this is,
yeah, it's like, oh, cool, this is actually going to mean something.
But then you're like running around picking flowers.
Yep.
in a garden. It's like, what? I was literally just fighting a god like 2 seconds ago. Like, what just happened? Yeah. So same kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think that's fair. I think
also real quick too.
Yeah.
My game bugged out on me like 3-4 times already.
Really?
It's insane how like the thing that it really annoys is, okay, this is the last bad thing I'll say about it, and then we can kind of gush over the other stuff. But like, it's so frustrating when you go to an area and you don't know if you're just dumb and you're not getting what they're telling you to do,
yeah,
or if your game is just glitched and you have to restart from the checkpoint. Because that's happened 3 times where I get to the area. The first one was the uncle thing where it's like the first time you find his like tech or whatever.
Yeah,
I get there and it gives you like kind of like a, hey, it's somewhere on this rooftop.
Right.
I ran around for like 5 minutes looking for stuff, like zooming in on things. And there's so many controls for that game, which isn't a bad thing, but it's just like, I'm like, what am I missing?
Yeah.
Turns out I had to reset it. And then it's like, oh no. And he'll talk you through it. But it just bugged out on me.
Huh.
So it was that. There was another one where like I was fighting all the sand people and stuff like that or whatever. And this was like right after the big battle. And there was a dude that fell in the sand. So like I couldn't kill him. I did this whole big fight scene. I did this whole thing. And then one of the guys like clipped through like this big pile of sand. And I can't attack him. He can't attack me. And I got to redo the whole fight again. Wow. And it's just like, stuff like that takes me out of it. And I was just shocked at how, I mean, I'm saying many, but it's like, I mean, I played the game for what? Let's say 4 hours. I had three of those bugs. Like, 1 an hour seems high.
Bad, that. Yeah. It's not good.
Yeah.
I haven't had anything. I haven't had any bugs like that. Like, sometimes someone will like clip through something or something, but no, nothing game breaking. So that's really strange.
I've reset checkpoint 3 times.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah. No, that hasn't happened to me yet. That would be annoying. That would be annoying. Yeah. That takes you out of it for sure. No, I understand what you're saying. Yeah. So it is, I think some of that stuff, it's like, it's just padding, right? Like, you know, it's going to be more expensive for them to create another cutscene and animate that. I mean, it's obviously higher budget. It's going to be more work. It's easier to just have you follow in like the, in the game graphics or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like telling you stuff or whatever. So
yeah,
I get that stuff. It does take me out of it too. I wish, nothing annoys me more in games than like when you have to follow someone, but you're too fast for them. Yeah. Or if you walk, you're too slow.
Yeah.
So now you have to like hitch and get like caught up. I forget what game was I playing where that was Cyberpunk. That happens.
Mm-hmm.
You're too fast for them.
Assassin's Creed, you do that. Yeah, there's a lot there.
You're too fast, but if you go to the walk, like if you press like caps lock, you walk,
mm-hmm.
but you're way too slow. I think Starfield too.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that.
Yeah.
Dude, just have me lock onto them and just follow them at a perfect pace.
Yep.
It takes me out of it so much, dude. It's
I agree with you.
I can't walk at their pace.
To be fair though, Spider-Man is not like that. It's
no,
just
because
slow.
You have a controller.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's true.
You have a controller, it solves it because you can, you know, that's adjust. Fair. But
well, even Spider-Man though, like that was part of it. Is like you can't, even if you're pressed all the way,
not
if you're walking
enough.
Around
yeah.
a building,
yeah.
you're walking. Yeah, you're not.
But it's
moving.
Also like clumsy, like you said. Like you start turning and like you're
in
like
the anime, like you just start to pick up on the animations and stuff. Yeah.
yeah. But I will say, speaking about the animations, like some of the animations, like when you're in a cutscene though, it's phenomenal, dude.
Yeah.
Like the facial expressions, the mannerisms, it is so lifelike.
Mm-hmm.
Like how people speak and like move is like, I was really impressed by some of those scenes, and I was like, wow, this looks so great. And it's on a PS5 too.
Yeah,
like,
but man. the problem that showcases the other stuff, like it feels like it's two different games to me.
Yeah, when you reach the highs of that, it really kind of also puts a spotlight on like when it's not reaching that level, right?
Yeah,
kind of curses itself. So but no, I like I said, there's something awesome about Spider-Man. Like there's no other feeling of web slinging around New York.
Mm-hmm.
Like 20 years ago, it was like just as fun. You know what I mean? And now it's more detailed and lifelike than ever before.
And it gives you, because like there were a couple like before, like when we were like, hey, we're gonna talk about Spider-Man on the cast today. Last night there was a point when I was like, oh, I can't wait to talk about how like, oh, I don't know why they're doing this with the web sling, but it's all like upgrades, right?
Yeah,
so like
yeah,
I've
yeah.
upgraded since then. It's like just about every quote unquote like issue or like nice to haves, I've been like, oh, it'd been cool if they did XYZ. They have. Like even to the point where like if you're going around like a corner,
yeah,
it's like, oh, you just hit oh and like you cut. And it's like, oh, that's super cool. So
love
like
that one.
Yeah, like there you can like I said, it's really hard to not look awesome and feel awesome and things like that.
Yeah.
Do you find I think and maybe this is just we haven't been in the game long enough, but because you're so fast and you're flying everywhere, like it's just like my sense of place is non-existent. So whenever it's like, oh, you're like in Queens or you're in, it's like I couldn't tell you where the heck I am. Yeah. I mean, eventually I'm sure like if I'm mopping up side quests and stuff, I'm sure I'll be opening up the map a ton and be like, okay, I'm going to be in this area and stuff like that.
Right.
But it's just like one giant city that it's just like, dude, I'm zipping around like it's nothing. I can't. Not distinct, I guess, is what I'm saying is.
No, I think that's fair. I've been to New York so much, though. It's really cool for me to like be like,
fair enough.
I'm in Times Square. I'm by the UN building where my grandparents used to live, like right down the street. Like, it's cool seeing those kind of places.
Like, I'm sitting on top of the Empire State Building right now. Like, that's just like, oh, that's cool. Like
classic, right? So, yeah, but I think I understand what you're saying. Like, it's kind of like a blur when you're just light speed just zooming around the city.
Yeah, I mean Batman is the same way. It's just like when you have such good traversal,
yeah,
you're really just going from waypoint to waypoint to waypoint,
right,
which
whereas like a Horizon, for example, you're really like you get to feel the
there are different journey. Biomes and stuff, and like people are dressed differently because it's like different tribes and different areas and things like that.
Yeah, no, I think you're because like you have to be on foot for a lot of that game.
Mm-hmm.
I know you can ride like things like
but you machines. Go and they like you get the landmarks, so you get the landmarks.
They do a really good job of that. Dude, like when you get to the beach for the first time and it's like and it's awesome too, because in that game, I mean, this isn't a Horizon thing, but like
it's another Sony thing that's just like I think Horizon still looks better. I think the characters are better animated and everything,
but like in Horizon there's always like an awesome moment when you recognize something from the quote-unquote old world, which is like our world, like the first time we got to Las Vegas was so cool. I was like, oh, it's Las Vegas, dude. And they're like, dude, they used to gamble here or something, and that's like this thing, and they're like getting some things right and some things wrong, and like and then when you get to the coast is really cool. But I think it's possible, right? It's possible to have good traversal but also kind of, I don't know how to phrase it, like unique places, landmarks, memorable.
It's just a sense of place. Immersive. Like, it's weird because it's like you're in New York.
Yeah.
Boy, does it feel like New York.
Yeah.
I like how dense it is, like the number of people, the number of cars, like
all
the little cool things, that, which I think they did in the first game as well. Like, just, it seems like every single voice line is recorded twice. So it's like, if you're walking on like a top, if you're perched on a rooftop or you're walking somewhere, you're on the ground, whatever, you're talking in a normal thing. But then if you're swinging, same dialogue, but suddenly you're saying it in a kind of like a breathless way. Like you're actually being like exerted.
Right.
I'm like, that's pretty cool they thought to do all of that.
Yeah.
I normally turn vibrations off, in a controller, but like Sony games are just, you got to keep that
so
on.
So good,
like, it's so, like, every little thing, like, down to your footsteps, man.
Yeah.
Like, you're just walking, and I'm literally feeling every single footstep in time, not that, like, in some, like, crazy rumble. The two things were the footsteps, where I'm just like, I can't believe that, like, it just, it's not overbearing. It just, it, you feel it. It's kinetic. And then the, when there was sand, and, like, the very beginning of the game, whenever sand's, like, blowing outside the classroom.
Yeah.
I don't know how they did it with the vibrations on the controller, but it felt like wind. So it was this like strong vibration, and it got so light.
Like a ripple.
But in such a weird, cool way where I'm like, whoever does that, like that's got to be a dude or dudette in the department, just like kind of like, all right, this is what I'm going to do. But like, well done for that stuff. Like, I think that's better than any other game. I think Spider-Man is,
I always thought like the DualShock motion sense or whatever, was like,
a gimmick, right?
Yeah, like super gimmicky. But like, yeah, no, I think you're starting to see the potential of that idea, which is so cool, right? Yep. Like, let's bring in another sense into the game. Like,
it's so, and if you haven't played PlayStation, it's harder to describe this, but like, Horizon was okay, but it was fatiguing, and I eventually turned it off. Like, God of War was okay.
You didn't like the bow?
It was fatiguing. It was like too hard to pull back as many times as I wanted to pull it back.
I think it was cool because like some of the bows are really heavy.
Yeah. It was super cool.
And I think that's really cool, especially like if you've ever shot in a bow before, like you really kind of get that sense of, but this is like a big boy.
But if it hurts to play,
sure.
Then it's like, well, because like it's the same thing with Spider-Man. Like you feel the resistance for every web sling that you do.
Yeah.
But it's not the max resistance. It's enough to know like you're feeling it, but you could do it 100 times and your fingers aren't getting tired.
Sure.
I felt like in Horizon after I'm like throwing my like 100th arrow into this like T-Rex or whatever.
Yeah.
This is starting to like hurt, or I'm starting to get a little pressure point action going on and things like that. I don't know.
I played on easy, so I was like, maybe we just had a different experience.
But yeah, man, it's really, really good. I think you need to go through the main story, like mainline it as much as you can. And I know we say that a lot with a lot of different games, but like they tell you a lot of stuff in the main storyline that you just don't really know elsewhere. So like the stealth mechanics, which I don't think are necessarily the greatest, but it's
yeah, I didn't really connect with the stealth so far, at least. Maybe I got to like figure out a better strategy.
Like
it felt a little clunky.
Yeah.
A little clunky. I was like falling from the roof. I was getting caught. And I just came off of Cyberpunk, which I actually think has great stealth.
Yeah.
Actually, I really, but I mean, it's like an FPS, so it's like very different. But yeah, no, stealth's tough, man. Stealth is tough.
Batman's just so good.
Exactly. It's like, dude, that's like third person adventure game.
Yep.
Batman's your bar, man. Like, that's like a great. And it's gonna be tough, but Spider-Man should be good for you got the climbing on the roof or the ceiling, webbing
there's
people
no,
up.
There's no
but
crouch, there's, you know what I mean? Like there's yeah, no like, yeah. Hey, you're in stealth mode now.
Right.
You just kind of have
to. You have
to
kind of like
hope.
Position yourself, and if you fall somewhere, you're right, exactly right. You can't crouch down in the corner. You can't. You're just standing up like a moron.
Yeah,
waiting to get caught. Yeah, so. Maybe it's like a me thing where I have to just get better at that. But yeah, I was in love with the stealth stuff. Like I'd rather just get into a brawl, which is like totally opposite of how I usually like playing games. Like
yeah,
I like the stealth. Like if I can stealth, I want to stealth.
Yep.
Sneaky Archer, greatest thing ever created. But in that game, I'm like, I kind of just want to jump down and just start brawling, which is very different.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I need to use my skill points because I haven't like really upgraded anything.
Do you find the skill trees and all that stuff overwhelming? I found it very overwhelming because you have your skill tree, you have your and you have to multiply it by 3 because you have Miles, you have Peter, and then you have a combined tree, and then you have your tech tree
that opens up into their own tree.
Then you have this tree and that tree, and it's like there's like 3 or 4.
Yeah,
I was kind of overwhelmed. I'm like, oh, okay, so I have a tech thing, I have a combo thing, I have like these, you know, web slinging and
And
this and that, and then if I do this side quest, I go at this point, and if I do that side, if I take these pictures, I'll get reputation. And I don't know, man. I was kind of overwhelmed by all this stuff.
It was too many. Let's call it currencies.
Sure,
it's too many currencies. It's too many trees. It's too many like. And I get it. It's the sequel, and we talked about this in Horizon. We talked about this in God of War. It's like bigger, more, just more stuff, and everything that they do makes sense. And I think while I'm overwhelmed on just the amount of little nitpicky, like I feel like everyone I talk to, like I'm hesitant to talk to people because it's like, oh, hey, Spider-Man, thanks for finding my drone. There's another 50 drones out there. If you can just find the red. It's like, okay.
No.
Like, I get worried about that because it's like there's a million different types of side quests.
Yeah.
But I will say the UI, and normally I'm a harping on the UI. I think the UI is easy enough to follow. Like it's pretty straightforward. It kind of shows you, like, if you go into the menu, it's like, all right, here on the top tab, it's like you can almost look at it as like every tab is its own currency. So it's like, okay, I get it.
Okay.
And then you go into like your skills and it's like, okay, here's all the different combat stuff. Now, is it too much? Absolutely. Is it overwhelming? Absolutely. Can you navigate it, or can you at least know a quick way of where to go? Because it tells you, it's like, hey, this is affordable. Go here and you can just buy stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. Still early. I could not tell you, hey, if I do Uncle So-and-so's tech thing here,
what do I get?
I could not tell you what I get or what to spend that on.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm struggling with. And like you said before, like there's a lot of buttons. Like there's
a lot.
There's like, used web slinging, normal. There's quick web sling to something with X. There's a glider with Y. There's this and that. And then you upgrade your web sling. So now if I press circle, I go around a corner. And if I L2 and X, I do a slingshot. And it's
if you hold square, you can do tricks.
I'm like, dude, is this a fighting game? Or like, what is going on? Like, maybe I'm just bad at video games, man. But
I feel like I'm getting old.
Dude, it's like too much. I just want to like swing around. And like, this is very dating myself, but I'm so used to like the movie game back in like the 2000s.
Yeah.
Where I could just swing, like there's one way to swing,
mm-hmm.
actually two. There's like a fast version and a regular, but I just swing and it like goes up and attaches to like the sky.
Yeah, yeah.
But in this one, it's like, no, I actually have to have space. So if I'm over Central Park, I have nothing to like, I have to use my glider, which I hate. I just want to web sling on the clouds.
Yeah.
I can't do that anymore. So it's like, I was like, oh man.
It's wild too, because that game by default is on a, like there's a slider on like, how forgiving your web slinging is.
Oh,
I don't know
there?
If you saw that.
Nah,
yeah. So
maybe I gotta mess
just,
with that.
Just by default. And like I said, you can't really screw it up. But like if you're flying down, if you hit the shoulder button before he even like swing, like throws his web out and stuff, he's already in the upward motion swinging. And then he shoots it out, because it's like, they're not going to let you hit the ground. It's very, very hard to like crash into the ground.
Yeah.
Now you can turn that down, and now suddenly like how you thought you were like hot crap, like, you know, there's like weaving in and out of buildings.
Sure.
You're going to hit every single, I turned that down just to like see what like quote unquote true physics was.
Yeah.
I turned that thing all the way back up. It's like, nope, I don't
want
to
feel, cool. Because I was crashing into things and like, I was very clumsy at the start. So I don't know. I gotta find
it. By default, it's,
is
all
it really?
The way to 10 forgiving, yeah. I played on whatever the default
terrible.
Is. I didn't put it down to easy.
I'm terrible.
Yeah, because it's like friendly neighborhood Spider-Man or neighborhood Spider-Man.
Yeah,
like
yeah. Adventure. What are you on, normal mode?
Yeah, whatever it started with.
Yeah.
Which I tied a few times.
Same,
like it's
dude.
Like if you miss a couple buttons, like
dude,
that snowballs real quick.
They hit you for a lot of damage.
I have one bar right now, and that's the thing that I hate, is there's like your bar fills up and you can use that like, I don't know, energy bar, whatever you want to call it, to either
like
heal yourself or to like do moves.
Yeah.
And it took me an embarrassing amount of time to realize that it shares that for healing and for moves.
Right.
So I'm like finishing people, doing all my special moves, and I'm like dying constantly because I can't heal myself.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what am I missing? And I'm like, oh, it's, I got to pick and choose.
Yeah.
So I really need to upgrade that so I can actually
have
do
more
things in combat.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so yeah, I'm excited to see where the story goes. The story's cool so far.
It's really like that story is so I don't even know what the right word, like
engaging?
Yeah, like I just want that.
Yeah.
Like just keep
put
so
me on the
cool.
rails, baby, and
like,
let's go for this ride.
Something crazy happened.
Yeah.
Don't be like, all right, well, I'm going to go find out more about this. Go, I don't know, swing around the city and help people while I figure this out.
Yeah.
Like, no, like, I don't even care if, cut another 10 hours down. So instead of your 25-hour mark or whatever, it's a 15-hour campaign or 12-hour campaign.
Now we're like, yeah.
Yeah, but like, can you, like, we could do all that stuff after the fact. Like, give me a sweet, tight 12-hour campaign.
I understand
like,
what they're doing, though. Like, they want you to feel immersed in the world. Like, it's very much a, and I know I keep talking about Cyberpunk, but it's the most recent thing I played.
Yeah.
And also, it's similar in the fact that, like, you're living in a city and they're trying to make this, like, a living, breathing city, right?
Which they do. I honestly, they probably do it better than I don't know another game that does that. Yeah. No.
Cyberpunk.
Spider-Man does it really well, I think.
Yeah, Spider-Man does do it well. But like, so they do a similar structure in Cyberpunk where it's like, okay, you've finished your mission. I'll call you in a day once I mm-hmm. talk to my contact. But I will say in Cyberpunk, I really like the side gigs and stuff because it's very much like a Far Cry, like, here's an outpost and you got to steal the data back.
Yeah.
And then like, oh, because I'm playing sneaky.
Sure.
It's like, oh, okay, I'm getting the layout. I'm like reconning. Here's how the guards move. I'm going to sneak past them. I'm going to shoot this guy. I'm going to do this. I'm going to hide his body.
Yeah.
So I love that. And I have a lot of fun with those side quests, so I don't mind that. But in Spider-Man, it's like, okay, I don't know how many times I can like drop down. These guys are like robbing a bank. Just going to beat the shit out of them. And then,
yeah, but at least that takes like 2 seconds. The thing that I get annoyed at is like, hey, we know that the guy that, I mean, spoilers for the first Spider-Man, or I guess Miles Morales even, but like the inverted man, Mr.
Lee,
Mr. Inverted. Something. Whatever. Like, killed Miles' dad. Like, it's like a big thing.
Right.
It's like he's at large. Like, hey, something's going on here.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm just going to put that to the side.
Right.
Let me help you ask this dude to prom. How about that? Is that cool? Can we do that? And it's just like.
And this is the thing I ran into with like God of War, dude, where it's like. In the first God of War, it was very slow and it made sense to maybe go off and do some side quests because it's like we're not really on a time table, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, we want to get her ashes up there, but we're just chilling, man. We're kind of exploring the world.
It's a big mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the second one, it's like, no, shit's going down. Ragnarok's coming. I am not fucking around. It's like, oh, hey, Kratos, we could kind of explore if you want to. It's like, no, dude, like the world's going to end, bro. We got to get there. And but they let you mainline it.
Right.
And that was great.
Yeah.
Another thing I was going to bring up with God of War, because we kind of are like comparing all these Sony games, like I think they did a fantastic job of like they improved everything from the first one in terms of like the technical aspect of it, like the combat and the upgrades and stuff. But it was not overwhelming. It was like, to me, it made a lot of sense, the progression between the first and second one in terms of that stuff. Like the equipment, upgrades.
I hated the equipment.
Really?
In the second one.
I thought it made a lot of sense.
I thought the UI was terrible. I hated it.
Well, is it UI or is it like the philosophy of like, because like in Spider-Man, the UI is fine, but I'm so overwhelmed. There's a million bars. There's a million trees. There's a million currencies. Like
it's the interactive God of War, it was like, part of it, though.
I understand what I'm gunning for. I understand what build I'm doing. It's like I have options, but it's not too many options. It's like a nice amount.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I'm going to upgrade my blades. I'm going to go for this build, you know, like a high damage build, a high burn build, whatever.
Maybe it's just the build part of it that
I couldn't tell you what I'm going for in Spider-Man. I'm just picking random shit right now because I'm like,
yeah, it's like, I guess this is cool.
I can't see the progression, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. I can't see what I'm going to try to go for. It's like so much. I'm just like, you have another skill point. You have another skill. I have like 3 skill points I'm sitting on because I don't know what to pick.
Yeah.
And I guess I just need to sit down and go through it all. But like even in Cyberpunk, in the 2.0 update, they did such a great job of the skill tree makes sense logistically. I can see the build I want to go. Oh, I want to play a sneaky build. Oh, this is the tree you want.
It tells you like, oh, you put a point in here. Yeah. It affects these things.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, okay. I can see that. It's very easy to see the path I want to take. And it gets you excited for like, oh, I finally got this one. And now I can do this. And I'm not there yet in Spider-Man. Maybe I need more time. Maybe I just need more time with it and looking at it and kind of theory crafting it. But as of right now, I'm like, it's too much.
It's too tough too. And again, we are very early on in the game, but it's tough because like what I'll do is I'll like not use skills for a while.
Right.
And then go in and be like, all right, well, I'm in the Miles tree, so I'm just going to like start going down his tree.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I'm like very far in his, not far elsewhere and different things like that.
Right.
But the problem is you'll get these skills. And you're like, oh, that sounds really cool. But then in practice, it's like either it doesn't work the way you expect it to work or it's not really effective on the type of enemies you're currently facing.
Right.
And then it's probably really good later game.
Sure.
But good luck remembering that you unlocked that thing, because if you buy something, you don't use it at all.
Yeah.
You basically, and I bet you're the same way, but it's like you have a few set moves. Like you go in, you're like, okay, I'm going to target the big guy, take him down first.
Dude, this is the same thing.
And then it's just, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, this is the same thing that happened in Hi-Fi Rush. It's a perfect example.
Yeah.
There are so many combos in that game, and I at the like especially when I had like all of them, I was like using three or two or even like one dude, like because I just got into this muscle memory of like, and that's a little different where it's like you got to be on the beat, so it's like you got to really know those combos, or you're gonna fuck them up.
Yeah.
And yeah, I would just like start spamming, which like I don't want to do. So I would like try to force myself to do other things. But if I'm in a really tough fight, I would find myself just going back to like, there's like the go-to move.
Yeah.
I do, because I've perfected this combo. My fingers are like really good at getting there.
Yep.
On that one. So yeah, it's like I want to use the full gambit that they give me, but there's too much. There's so much, and I forget about these things. I also wish that your XP was per character. So Mile got his own XP, Peter got his own XP. So if I'm playing as Miles, I have two skill points for Miles' tree.
Yeah, it's like you're 'cause
now
games
I don't
one.
Know. Yeah, because now I don't know who to put it. I try to balance it. I try to do, okay, I did Miles last time, I'll do Peter this time. But I wish it kind of split it so we were evenly paced.
The thing
and I could see the progression from the trees. Cause like if you're doing your game and you have like Miles is just badass and just killing everyone, and Peter has like no skills, it's like a very big
but that's
stark
the that's
difference.
The crazy thing though is I put a lot of stuff in Miles just because that's who I was playing at the time, but then I swapped over to Peter and it's like somehow he just feels better to me, like he feels faster, he feels stronger, he feels just like. He's connected, like, and I don't know why, because I haven't upgraded him at all. But like, I'm dying as Miles, even though I pumped like points into his skill trees, and then just basic ass Spider-Man, I'm just like wrecking dudes, and I'm like, okay, well, I don't know. Yeah,
I think their combos, I guess, are a little different. I like Peter better too. I think I like his combos, like his, I don't know, like the tendrils on his back or whatever. What would you call those?
I guess that was from the first game. I don't remember that at all.
I don't remember that either. Is that like the Iron Spider kind of thing?
I assume so, but, right? But yeah, like, maybe it was like a mom. I should have played Miles Morales. I never did.
I didn't either. I feel like I'm still like, because like Into the Spider-Verse kind of covers the whole uncle thing. So I was like, although. I feel like Into the Spider-Verse is different with his dad, maybe?
A little bit.
That's a little different, yeah. But anyways...
Well, yeah, because the character in this game is, like, new for this game.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Anyways, so I feel like I'm not lost, though. I'm like... But that's the beauty of Spider-Man, because, like, we grew up on all these villains.
And, yeah,
like,
and I think they do a fine job. I just, like, a lot of the characters... it's almost like you missed a couple Marvel movies and you're coming in like, hey, your buddy wants to take you to like Avengers and you missed like the three standalone movies up to that thing. So it's like all the characters that you should probably know. I was actually kind of shocked at how many people like know Spider-Man. Like it's hard to keep track, right? So it's like, okay, so like Mary Jane knows and Miles has like, apparently everyone in Miles' life knows like his mom, his girlfriend, his best friend. Like, okay, sure. What?
Crazy.
So you get that fairly quick, but dude, everyone's calling you constantly. Just call. Yeah, it's neat, but I don't know. It's overall very good game.
Yeah. I'm excited to finish it. I'm excited to play through it.
Yeah.
See where the story goes.
I feel like it feels better than the first. I have to go back and play the first. I never will, but.
You're probably right. It would be disappointing if it didn't, right? That's like 5 years ago.
Well, I was having trouble with the first one in terms of combat. Eventually I got there, but I was having trouble connecting with it because I guess I was coming off of like maybe like Arkham games and things like that. And it was just a little bit different.
Sure.
I felt like I was always getting just wrecked off screen. Uh-huh. Like somebody was shooting me that I just didn't see and I would constantly get hit. So in this game, I feel like they do a fairly good job timing wise and like dodging thing. I mean, you're dodging every 5 seconds, which is very Spider-Man. So I guess that fits.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I mean, I think overall it is polished. So like, it's fun to play. It's just like, that's the gameplay I want is swing around, beat up guys and watch a cool cinematic story.
Yeah.
All this other filler stuff. Like
It's totally filler. But again, like I've seen 100% this game, it's not long. It's like 10 more hours than just the story.
Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, at least it must not be that much. Like there, it must be manageable.
The which fetch is, stuff is fairly quick. Like I just did, there's one like did you do the hydroponic mini game or whatever?
Which one's that?
You have to like match tiles to do whatever.
Yeah, yep.
And it's like, okay, cool. Like I did that once and then just out of nowhere, push him down. He shouldn't be on the table. There we go. But it would be like, okay, like you match tiles and do whatever. But then it's like, oh, look, I found it on the rooftop. I'm going to
do the
water the plants. And it's like, dude, I
don't
want to
water the plants.
Yeah, like I want to go beat up Craven.
Yeah. right. Yeah, no, it's very much a...
Craven's so good.
The story's where it's at. The story's where it's at, which we knew.
Yeah.
We knew that. That's what it's going to be about. And I'm excited to see where it goes for sure. So
I think Horizon... In terms of just side quest stuff, Horizon is still the bar, I think.
Yeah, I mean, like some of the side quests is like, oh, this is interesting.
There's some interaction. There's something there. It's not just like, it's very friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. I get that. And maybe I'm just not like, I don't know.
Is there a better way to pace that, right? Like, I don't know. That'd be tough.
Make it a little bit more organic than just like, here's a bunch of different icons on a map.
Right. Yeah. Like you'd have to be creative about how to incorporate that into the story. Like why do we need to wait a little bit to get to the next point?
Yeah.
Rather than like,
you don't have to wait long. So
you
it's
don't,
like,
no.
it's fine. I get
you don't,
it.
You don't. Yeah. I don't
but
know.
But that almost makes it even seem
cheaper.
Yeah, it's like, okay, you don't have to wait long, but you still have to do like a thing.
It's like and it's kind of like, fake.
Yeah, it's like, okay, at least make it like a level thing.
I like,
it's like,
you have to
hit a certain level before the story progresses to the next thing or whatever. And you can just kind of do your own thing. I get that maybe, but
I mean, I like in Cyberpunk how it's like they will call you back in a day.
Yeah,
it's very clear.
Yeah.
And you always have other things to do as well. Like in Cyberpunk there's a lot of side missions and stuff, so
or start making it a little bit more like choosy, right? So it's like, oh, hey, there's a fire going on over here and a robbery going on over here. And then like make it a little bit more interactive or make it a little bit more like scripted than just like jump down, beat up three guys and get a little, you did it, XP thing on the top or whatever.
Yeah.
I got to see if I can turn that off. That's kind of annoying, honestly.
Yeah.
Like it feels like it's too...
Yeah. Takes you out of it.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. All right. Well.
Anyway.
I'm excited. Like I said.
It's a fun game.
Yeah. It's good. I knew it was going to be good. I mean, I'm actually... Like, we didn't really circle our calendars for this one in a way. You know what I mean? This wasn't like...
Yeah, I think it was like more of a just a given. Like, it will be a solid
like,
year.
We're going to play it, but it wasn't like a, you know... We were... Maybe that's just an us thing. Like, the couch wasn't super on. Like... We thought this could be like solid, more of the same.
Yeah.
But I'm actually pretty impressed with
how good
it looks and how cool Spider-Man is. Spider-Man is cool, man.
It's a fun...
It just brings me back to my youth, bro.
It's gameplay, though. Like, you would say this is more gameplay than anything, right?
Yeah, probably. But I don't know. It's like... The cutscenes are great when Peter's just being a dork and like the voice acting's obviously great. It just brings me back. Like I just love these characters. Like you're saying, like to the cartoon when you're a kid. It's like, oh man, I remember Scorpion jumping around and being a bad guy and I was like six.
Yeah.
It's just fun. Like they're very memorable characters. They're very memorable. It's a memorable comic, I guess, right? Where it's like everyone knows Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Everyone has a story about...
Was J.K. Simmons the... J. Jonah Jameson in the first game? Did I make that up in my head?
He's in the Marvel universe, he is.
I know
he is,
but I thought they got him for the game, too. Because in this one, he's not.
He's not.
And it just...
I think I was expecting him, too, and he wasn't.
Right?
And then I was like... Wait, am I conflating things? I don't remember.
Yeah. I could have... If you
I wish he was.
Yeah.
Man, he's the best. J.K. Simmons is the best, bro.
Talk about, like, that's the casting. And
speaking of which, Invincible 2, I think, came out recently.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Nice.
I got to see that. I don't know. I think it got mixed reviews.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Omni-Man is coming to Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, yeah.
Either this week or next or something.
Yeah, he's great, man. I love JK.
Did you see, that's one of the fatalities. Where he,
like, the train,
yeah, where he just holds the guy,
saw that. Just goes train. Oh, that's brutal,
man. Yeah,
that's fucking brutal, bro. That show is good. I liked Invincible,
yeah,
it was cool. I don't know, maybe it wears off because, like, the first season it's like all shocking, shock, you're like, yeah, holy shit,
yep,
I cannot believe they're doing this,
yeah.
I remember the story you're telling me. You're like watching the first episode. You're like falling asleep.
Yeah, I was like, what is this?
And then
this?
You wake up, like people are getting decimated. You're like, whoa.
Yeah.
I was not expecting that.
Yeah.
Because you think it's going to be like a normal.
I thought it was like a Justice League type of thing. Yeah. Like it was just like, okay.
It's like Mortal Kombat, bro. Yeah. It's like they go hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll be cool. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what else.
I mean, that's what we've been doing, right? So yeah. Spider-Man.
Spider-Man's been fun.
I had a couple games on my list that I was going to do. I played more Mario, but like,
yeah.
Speaking of,
Wonder?
I finished World 2.
Yeah, nothing, no improvement.
Dude, I feel nothing, bro, for that game. Like, except like I'm actually kind of getting like annoyed at it.
Uh-oh.
Because it's like, it goes from, hey, here's a one-star level that's just like stupid,
right,
to like, here's a 5-star level that you just randomly found. It's like, oh, you found a special world. Like, cool. Isn't that great? Like, yeah, I guess. And then you start playing it, and it's like they just hijacked people's worlds from like Mario Maker.
Like, it's almost just crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like not crazy hard. It's like I feel like I'm fighting the Switch because the Switch just isn't really good controls. Like, it just like, it feels mushy. It's not.
You're doing like precise, the portable.
The light. Like, it's okay. Just like I use.
Have you tried it on the big screen?
Not yet.
Okay.
No.
Because it'll improve.
The pain with that is like I actually have to like download it again to my other.
Oh, because you
system
did it on the light.
And yeah, so it's like a whole.
Why
thing.
Wouldn't you just do it on the one that can do both?
Because the light I thought was gonna feel better, and I was like, oh, it's gonna be like Game Boy. Like, I'd be like, cool, I'll play it that way, and it just.
It's not like Game Boy.
It's not. it hurts your hand after a while because like you're gripping that thing because you're trying to do these like precise things,
right?
And it's just not that. That's not the way to play that specific one. Now, sure. If you're playing like Fire Emblem or something, the light
Take
is the
time.
Best thing in the world.
Yeah.
Animal Crossing, the best thing in the world.
Right.
So it's situational. But Mario, yeah, like it's like Super Mario. And I went back and I played some Super Mario World because I have that on the. Whatever the Nintendo online thing that I idiot pay it. Like I do it like a yearly $20 thing.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
I can't talk right now. I'm like stroking out.
No. Please don't do that.
But I started playing that and it was like, am I just forgetting how this feels? Am I forgetting? And it's just like, no, these are like clever and good levels. And like, there are secrets, but like everything's just really well done.
Yeah.
In this game, it's like, you're really just fighting against. I felt like it's not like I'm bad at it, like I'm beating these things, but
right.
It's just like I'm not having fun doing it. It's not thrilling doing it. It's like a chore doing it. And it's just like every time text pops up because the little caterpillar is talking to you, I'm just like, oh my god. And it's just like nothing's different.
Wow.
It's just like
maybe
oh,
you're just a grumpy
everybody.
Old man now,
maybe, but like world is good. It like
it's
just like it's
right.
Pure. It's like here's okay, world 1-1, here you go, and then you just go, and then world 1-2.
But that's like maybe it's because it's getting really good reviews.
I don't get it.
I don't either.
Because every
well,
like
I haven't played it.
Unlock you get is like, hey, make the game easier. So it's like, oh hey, you unlock this dolphin thing. Now you can just swim super fast through the water, or now you get this hat that you can like float, so if you miss your jump it's more forgiving,
right?
Or not. So it's like there's not like a hey, this is going to change the gameplay in any way. I think the elephant sucks. Like I don't get that. Like every other one was cool with like the Tanuki thing, even the frog kind of sucked, but like they had these cool items that was like, oh cool, it's in a suit. It's not you transform into an actual elephant. I don't know.
This one's a little wild. I mean, it's called Wonder.
Look, they're trying some stuff, and I will always applaud people for trying stuff.
Yeah.
And it's not like a bad game, but it is.
The tone
I feel
seems
nothing.
Different.
Yeah, I don't feel anything.
It's different tonal.
It's not what I wanted.
Yeah.
It was disappointing.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, buddy.
I mean, I have, what, 3 more worlds to do? Like,
yeah.
But, man, do I not. I'm beating Spider-Man before I pick this up.
Sure.
Again,
hey, that's valid. Yeah, I've just been playing Spider-Man. I have been trying to knock out my anime stuff for the year.
Yeah.
Because I have nobody else watches it but me, but I have a personal thing where I want to keep up with all of them this year and be able to intelligently discuss
have an opinion on myself
at the end of the year when they do like anime of the year or whatever. There's this really cool one that I've been looking forward to for a while, and I forget if I talked about it on this show before, but it's a really interesting concept where it's in a fantasy world. It's kind of like D&D-esque, and the main character is this elf, this mm-hmm. chick, and in the show starts with them coming back from beating the final boss. Okay. Like, there's this trope in like these adventure animes where it's like, the Demon King's always like the bad guy.
Yeah.
They literally call him the Demon King like every show. It's so funny. I don't know why they do that, but it's like, it's so generic. They just always have the same things. But anyways, they're like, they're coming back and it starts where they're just talking about, yeah, we just beat that guy. That was sweet. Yeah. They come back to town, they're heroes or whatever. And the point of the show is elves in this world, like in D&D, live way longer than people. So it's framed from this girl's perspective as an elf, where she doesn't, I don't want to say respect time, but it's just so short for her that she doesn't seem like the meaning in like, oh, let's just go hang out or let's celebrate this. She's like, why? Like, who cares? Like, I'm going to go research or get more spells or whatever. Right.
Yeah.
So anyways, it's shot in such a cool way where it's like, I guess I should say like her party members that she went on this amazing adventure that should be the plot of the show but is not, they like start, they're old and they're like dying and she's like still super young and she's like, it kind of hits her like, oh wow, like maybe I need to respect the time I have even though it's so short, like,
yeah,
because it's like an impact for her. But it's shot so interesting in an interesting manner where it's like there's this one scene in particular where she goes to this shop and she's like trying to buy this item and she walks out and then the next scene she's coming back to the shop. The dude was like 20. He's now 80 and he's like super old. And it's shot in a way like from her perspective where it's like, no, it's a blip, but these humans are like, they're at the end of their life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. It's a really interesting perspective. I kind of like that. So it's about her kind of like understanding like how to live in a manner in which she cares. Cause like you think about it, it's like, wow, if I lived like thousands of years old, it'd be hard for me to
be
invested.
So jaded for everything. Yeah.
Right. And that's how she starts. But she's like, man, why am I crying over these people that I've known for 100 years, which is like a year for us or something. Right. And
right.
It's really cool. So that one's been really interesting. I've been liking that one a lot. Yeah.
Nice.
I want to share that little tidbit. I like unique
just doing suits.
Suits. I love Suits, man. Suits is great.
Yeah.
I start quoting movies, dude. It's like one of the best bromances of all time, in my opinion.
Maybe
I'm super biased, but like, dude, Mike and Harvey are the best, bro. They're just like,
Chelsea and I are getting to the point. Like before it was like, oh, this is like cool. And we were both pretty quiet and we were watching it.
Yeah.
Now it's like they're talking to each other and stuff, and it's just like, oh, but you're a good person. And then one of us is like, yeah, but you broke the law. Like,
oh,
you deserve
God.
To
yeah.
go to prison.
Yeah.
Like, you're not, don't go all poor put upon you. It's like, you deserve to be in jail right now. So, like, even if you get out of it, you're still a bad person.
It's like Wolf of Wall Street, where it's like,
You're rooting for him,
but you're, like, thinking to yourself, this guy's a scumbag.
Yeah.
And he deserves, like, going to rest, but, like, they frame it in a way where you're like, oh man, I wish he wouldn't
have
got caught.
Every other time you see Lewis, like it's literally just a pendulum of like you see Lewis the one time and you're just like, man, you are an idiot.
Yeah.
You are just screwing everything up.
Yeah.
To then like, oh, that's so touching and best friends.
Yeah.
And then, oh, you're screwing everything. It's just like,
but they do it well where it's like,
to an extent, and I think that if this was like you're watching this over the course of the 7 years it was running or 8 years or whatever it is,
sure.
But watching it back to back to back, it's just like House. It's like, this is not the way to do this because it's so unbelievable in terms of like, how are you going to get out of this one? It's like,
well,
they always do.
Dude, there's something like I watched it when it was running on USA. when I was younger, and I did have to wait like a week for the next episode to come out, and you would see the trailers, yeah. you'd see the ads for it, and there's something to be said about that way of consuming yeah. shows back in the day, because you'd get hyped up, and they would cut these trailers for the next episode with yep. all these, like,
you and I are talking about it for a week,
so I think you're definitely onto something. Like, you have to consider that too, like the way television is going to be structured these days for the streaming platform. You're not going to be able to write a show in that manner anymore, because you don't get that suspended.
I feel like they're going back to that though. Like, Apple's doing it that way.
I think
Netflix is the only one that doesn't. So, like, dude, Max does it.
Arcane did it the best, where it's like three episodes, mm-hmm. hour each. That's like a big chunk. Yep. You know, I can space that out.
Get just pulled in.
Yeah, and then you wait a week and you get the next chunk.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's like the perfect middle ground, where you get the binge-ness, you get a lot to consume, you also have to wait and discuss.
Yeah.
And it was like three like nice arcs that fit into the story really well. Dude, Arcane was so good, bro.
Yeah.
That show was so good.
So was Cyberpunk.
Cyberpunk was also really good. I forgot you watched that.
Yeah. I loved it.
That's an anime.
Yep.
That was anime of the year last year.
I loved it.
Which was kind of shocking. I didn't think it was going to win, because like Demon Slayer always wins that shit, but...
Cyberpunk was really good. All the streaming platforms have gotten very expensive. Like, Netflix is like $22.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That's wild. Like, you can't have all of them, right? Like, if you have all of them, you're spending like hundreds of dollars a month.
They're doing this BS stuff where, like, and Kyle just sent a message to the group, because it was like, hey, the current plan you're on, it's ad-free, but now it's only 1080p, and you can only have two people watching, and you can only do XYZ. And it's just like,
there's more limitations.
Yeah. And it's like, or you can pay
a ton of money
more, and then we'll give you, basically, then we'll give you your 4K back. Then we'll give you your three. Like, they take stuff away, make you pay more money to then
give it back,
get what you had ahead of time. So I feel like that feels worse than what Netflix does, where it's like, hey, we're increasing your cost. That sucks, but at least you're not taking anything away from me.
Yep. No, I agree with that take.
Disney's up. Apple's up. Yeah. It's like, man, like, just...
The power creep. There has to be a breaking point, right?
Well, what's going to happen is
$30
Verizon. Verizon is going to, which I think they already do, come out with their quote-unquote cable plan.
For streaming
platforms.
And you
just get all the streaming platforms.
And it'll be hundreds of dollars a month, just like cable.
Yep.
Yeah.
It took them years.
Yeah.
But they will always get you in the end.
They'll find a way, man. Game Pass, though. We're still holding strong at 10 a month, baby.
Just for PC. Everything else got up.
Really?
Yeah. Really? Yeah, it's like 17 now, I think.
Dude, they cared so little about that, though. Like, John was paying $1 a month for like a year. My little brother, I think, was like, he had Game Pass, but they weren't charging him. I kept thinking, like, dude, I think mom's credit card's probably on there or something. He's like, nah, dude, I don't have any. That's great. So they must just not care. Like, you know what I mean?
They
might
crack down a little bit on that, where it's like, now, because before it was like, oh, hey, I can gift you like just a month of Game Pass.
Yeah.
Now it's like, hey, I can gift you like a week.
A week,
or 2 weeks or whatever. Yeah.
I think they're like, okay, we don't have infinite money. We need something.
Well, yeah.
Game Pass is still the best deal in the game, though. I've played, maybe like 4 or 5 games on Game Pass this year.
Yep.
Already worth. I need 2, right? Like, if you have a full game, $60-$70.
120 a year.
120 a year. You need 2 games that you've, let's say, played to completion. Like,
in your case, it would be Forza and Starfield. And you're
Forza, Starfield. What else was on there? There were more things. Hi-Fi Rush.
Sea of Stars.
Sea of Stars was on there, which I played to completion. I wanted to say Octopath, but I don't think it was. Octopath was definitely Steam. I think there were a couple more, but...
I mean, I played Cocoon on there. I played a ton of stuff on there. Yeah. We played Redfall.
Redfall was on there. That was a game we played.
There's a lot.
Wow. What a game. Yeah, so exactly. Already worth...
Yeah.
Like, just Forza and something else, Starfield.
Yeah.
That's your 140.
I cannot believe Call of Duty is $70, $100. IGN just put it out.
I kind of don't want to play
single
it.
Player.
I kind of don't want to play
4
it.
4 out of 10.
I kind of don't want to play it.
Yeah.
Like, fuck these guys.
People are saying it's 4-hour campaign.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's DLC, dude.
Yeah. Yep.
What a scam.
Mm-hmm.
What a scam.
Same UI, same everything. John sent a video of Dr. Disrespect trying to like play the game.
Yeah.
And he was caught in some weird UI loop that just, he was like screaming at it and stuff. He's like, this is the worst thing ever. It's just like people can't get on. You can't upgrade your copy of the game. So like it's supposed to be any digital game will give it to you.
Yeah.
And so if you bought like the regular and you're like jonesing to play the single player for whatever reason, and you're like, okay, I'll just buy the extended or the extra version.
Yeah.
You can't just pay the $30 difference.
No. Yeah,
so like that isn't. But the problem is that's what happened with Modern Warfare 2, and they caught so much crap for it, and they finally fixed it.
Yeah.
And this one is like, hey, all the issues for Modern Warfare 2 on this one. So like PC, constant crashes, all this other stuff, like everything that plagued Modern Warfare 2 when it came out, it's like they're doing it all over again with no fixes. And it's just like, it was like just going through and like watching everybody, it was insane.
Yeah. No, it's so scummy. That's so scummy.
Yeah.
I kind of don't want to play it, dude. Like, why am I going to give the money?
I'm not paying $70 for it. Yeah. I'm not. And that kills me because like I always say that and I always end up just doing it anyway, but yeah. I am not giving them that money.
Wow, man, that's so wild. I didn't know it was a 4-hour campaign.
Yeah.
There's no side quests in that, though. That's as straightforward as
no, because they're just like, well, I guess you could like put it on veteran. I don't know. There's some replay value there, I guess. Like,
yeah, okay.
For IGN to give it a four.
Like,
I tried finding a video. I didn't see a video for it.
They will eventually.
It'll be like the full thing.
Yeah.
But like it boils down to, it's like, hey, are you playing Warzone?
Yeah.
Guess what? That's free. Don't bother.
What
are you going to do? Hey, here's some, and it's not even like, some of them are new maps, like I would assume, but it's like, here's 16 remastered Modern Warfare maps.
Right.
It's like, it is the greediest, scummiest, like, we know this is a game that people like. We know that they like these maps. Will get them to pay out the nose for it. And
it's disgusting.
Ultimately, I'm sure they will. But like,
with a game that came out, like, we're talking maps that came out 20 years ago.
It's,
or like 15 years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say like 10, but 10, 15.
10, 15. Yeah.
I don't know. They
couldn't do better. They couldn't do better. The original Modern Warfare, man.
I think it's what is going to be. I mean, they could still remake 3. They'll still have to remake the campaign.
Did they remake 2?
Yeah, the campaign. Like, they didn't like do multiplayer
in the.
So they did Modern Warfare.
Was the best, though.
Yeah, well, they did Modern Warfare multiplayer.
Yes,
and then I think they'll never do that again because
nobody played
that. No, they did. That's the problem.
Oh,
is
and
they
then
came
they
out with it,
and
no one played whatever Call of Duty was at that point.
Right.
It was like, I don't know, Infinite or something.
Right.
And it was just like, oh,
we
screwed
want this.
Up.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm shocked they just didn't do it for this one. Or maybe this is their way of saying they kind of did.
I might buy the remastered versions. Play those.
Just the campaigns?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Just
you're gonna pay
love those
full price for them.
Well, I'll wait till Christmas and
yeah, get maybe them on Steam or something.
Yeah. So,
it's good. Is it that good? Like, I don't know, man.
The OG campaigns?
Yeah.
Love. Yeah.
Yeah, they're fun. They're good. If
they're
you want
so
that
good.
Hit of nostalgia, but it's not like they're gonna. I mean, back then that was when campaigns were only 6 hours or something like that. So it's like, do you really want to pay $40 for a 6-hour game? I don't know.
Well, I mean, let's see how low they go. I'm not going to be stupid about it.
Call of Duty is like Nintendo, man. They never go on sale. The only ones that go on sale is like if you want to do like zombies.
True. Yeah. I mean, we'll see how low they go. I'm not going to pay a crazy amount of money to do that, but it'd be fun to turn my brain off and just like remember the good old days before they were greedy assholes. I was also thinking about, I just got the hankering to play Spyro again. I was like, I just want to sit down on a Saturday, play through Spyro the Reignited Trilogy.
I still have to play 3.
I do too.
Be 1 and 2.
And because I still need a game, because I know like last year for Game of the Year, one of the categories was best game that like didn't come out this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to find something. I gotta do Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I don't want that to win.
I
don't want that to win by default. So gotta figure
out. Gotta play something else.
Just quickly.
Pat it out.
Yeah. That's fair. So, yeah, man. I just want some nostalgia. I've been in the mood for some nostalgia hit.
Sure.
Yeah, man. When I just come home from school, turn on my 360.
I want the multiplayer game, man. Like, we, I feel like, so Kyle finished Diablo.
Right.
So I don't think he's going to be playing. Like, yeah, once he's done. Finished it, it's like, yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
I'm at 95.
You're close.
Yeah. But, like, I'm also kind of, like, a little burnt on it. Where yeah. it's like, I can, it's enough where it's like, I can get to 100.
But
do I
once,
care
once,
okay. to do it? It's like, yeah, sure. Yeah. I don't know. Because it's tough. Because, like, I want to play with, like, Harbin, I want to play with that, but they're also like lower level too. So it's like, I have no problem jumping in and doing that, but it's like, I'm just there to hang out with them. Right. I'm not actually progressing my right. stuff. So it's like, if I was serious about getting to 100, I have to do it on my own, but I also don't like playing on my own. So right. it's kind of this catch 22. Yeah. I don't know.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm glad like Diablo was like a nice little hit of.
It felt good for yeah. For, yeah. Felt good. I mean,
hey, maybe next season you'll be back in, right?
Come yeah. back in and check I'm it out. I'm very excited to see what they're gonna do.
Yeah.
If they bring back pets and if they bring back some sort of like season of the treasure goblin or something, just to like,
yeah.
man, ride this high. Don't like yeah. use all this goodwill and then tank the thing. Right. Like, keep raising that bar. Yeah. Keep making those numbers.
Hopefully,
go
they've
up.
Learned now. Like, okay,
I would hope so. Then again, I mean, couple. What is it, like 6 months from now or something like that? You get Path of Exile? So they're going to have to...
Curious, yeah.
They got to get their stuff together before yeah. that game comes out.
Path of Exile was intriguing.
Yeah.
It's very intriguing.
I still think it looks better.
Yeah. I think you're right. The little...
Just graphically, it still looks seen. It looks good. Yeah.
Next year, yeah, it's going to be interesting for games. I am obviously really excited for Final Fantasy. That's going to be...
Yeah,
kind of nervous, but really excited.
We should probably look at see like what games are actually coming out next year.
Yeah, GameSpot came out with like we did that this year where they have like the by month listed out like what games are announced so far. So
oh, did they? Okay, we
I remember
do that.
This year we kind of went through that and started tracking like
yeah,
I'm definitely playing this. I might play this. Blah blah blah.
Yeah, we can
so,
do that.
Yeah,
again.
We might do that again. So
I still have to do Alan Wake before the year's
I'm not
up.
Gonna play that.
I will.
I gotta play these League of Legends games. This Song of Nunu came
yeah,
out.
Yeah, you got three now.
I got three. I might not do Echo because you played that. And
yeah.
It's like a Metroidvania, which like aren't my favorite games.
Sure.
But I like the Silas game. The Nunu game might be good too, but it's like a very
that's
child,
probably more my,
child
my speed.
Game. I don't know. It seemed very childish.
You gotta get hit in the feels, you know?
But there's like a good childish, and then there's like a this is just from like my 5 year old.
Yeah, but Animal Crossing's childish, and man, that
no,
that's
but that's
okay
like
by.
A good like this is actually for all ages.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying? You. Like a good childish property is like you know like classic Disney or something where it's like
yeah.
anyone can watch this, have a great time.
Yeah,
but technically for children. And then there's some things that are like, oh, this is literally just for kids.
Yeah,
like adults cannot enjoy this. I'm trying to think of an example of that, but like I don't know.
Mario Wonder.
Yikes. Yeah, kind of.
There's Warcraft coming out. I think actually today.
Warcraft 3 Remastered?
Oof, no. But no, a mobile game.
I don't know.
I think there's a mobile game that just
yeah,
came
BlizzCon's
out.
Yeah, BlizzCon's going on right now,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't heard a single thing.
Me neither. Out of that. Blizzard's dead, bro. Blizzard's dead.
Well, no, it's not. I mean,
they're dead.
Let's see what Microsoft does with them.
Dead.
Can Microsoft resuscitate?
No. Microsoft can't resuscitate anything.
Did they make a bad deal?
Yes.
Where it's like, hey,
Blizzard's dead.
We bought Blizzard and Call of Duty is just trash. And this it's just like, okay.
They're dead, bro. They're dead on arrival.
They're $69 billion. I feel like someone's going to try something.
Yeah, they're going to try, but
yeah.
I don't know. All right. That's all I had.
No, it's a good one.
It's right. a great one.
Amazing one. Get it? Because of Spider-Man.
I got that.
Yeah.
If you made it this far, we appreciate it. Check us out. Couchcompany.games. Got our lists on there. Got our ratings on there. So look out. We're going to look out for Spider-Man. Isn't that the
look
song?
Out, look out, it's
yeah, yeah.
Spider-Man.
Yeah. We'll be rating Spider-Man. Oh, I still got to rate Forza. I talked about it. I did a review of it, essentially, but I didn't give it a rating.
Yeah.
Should just, I say what the rating is?
Sure, I'm not going to remember. Can you text me a number?
I'll text you a number. I got to think about it. Maybe next week. Next
all
week. Right. But yeah, check out our couchcompany.games. Our ratings are on there. Our top fives. We haven't done a top five in a little bit, but
top five. We got five a couple good ones
we got good
suggested
ones.
To us.
Yeah,
so we got to
yeah.
hear those.
We'll do those. Really excited for our like top five years in video game ones. I think we'll do that some point this year, maybe. Because this year is such a good video game year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, be on the lookout for that. And that's about it. So we'll see you at same time, same place next week. Thanks for joining us on the couch. Peace.